All right, the conclusion.
I very much appreciated that you were of the week.
After all you gave to us, we weren't going to ditch you at the last minute, the finish line. Okay, so let's finish up the Hadrachu Klalim from the Rebbe. And then we'll have to figure out where we go next. Where do we go from here? Okay, Tess, bottom of page 51. Lo ya'avur alecha yom b'lo Torah. A person shouldn't go a single day without Torah. Tov she'tikva she'is limudecha b'boker. It's be worthwhile for a person to make the time of his learning in the morning. Kadosh Baruch Hu always is racious, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu loves racious. Now what exactly that means, Hashem loves racious, is an interesting question, but we know it's true, right? Beracious. So Hashem began to express himself in the Torah. Bishvil Yisrael Shnikaracious. Bishvil Torah Shnikaracious. So it makes sense that the Torah, which is racious, and the Jewish people, which is racious, should be the racious of a person's day. There's a Maimer Chazal, Kol Eschalos Kashrus. You know, all beginnings are difficult. Whenever you begin a new project, a new thing, there's always that initial fear and anxiety of something new, an unfamiliar environment. But I saw once from one of the Majid Sarebis brings one of the earlier tzaddikim from that dynasty. Kol Eschalos Kashrus also means that your Eschala has to be kasher. Not just that the beginning is difficult, but the beginning has to be, you have to be kasher about it, be firm about it. Because if you don't put down a strong foundation, so what's going to happen? So, very practically, it makes sense. You start the day in the right way, so then a person's able to build on that. You don't start off the day in the right way. If your day starts off with everything else, so then it really puts a different direction in terms of the entire focus of the day. And he says, that's the Medrash, Kedis of a Medrash, that Hashem loves Rishis, and therefore you should start your day with Torah if possible. Right? The Ben Soro Mora, the rebellious child, when does he become a Ben Soro Mora? His dafka in that first tekufa, as he becomes bar mitzvah, it's then that if we see that he's out of control, so we treat him in such a severe way. Why? Maybe he'll grow. Because again, you put down that type of foundation for your life, and who knows what's gonna, it's only gonna get worse. We all make mistakes along the way, but there's something about that starting point. If it's not pure, if you can't start off pure, right? The menorah, the Beis HaMikdash. Why do they use pure oil? The halacha says that if all the oil is impure, so you're allowed to use impure oil. Why was it such a big deal? Shemen Zayazach, they found pure oil, they found the Pach Shemen. So use impure oil. The answer is, because to re-inaugurate the Beis HaMikdash with second-class oil, again, you don't lay such a foundation. So make sure, says the Rebbe, Torah every day, and all the more so to make sure you start the day with Torah. Whatever you can to try to get some learning in, either before davening or immediately after davening. Chavetz Chaim once said, people sometimes complain to a Kodesh Baruch about certain things that they ask for during davening. So Chavetz Chaim said, you don't even practice what you preach. You say in davening, you talk about how Torah is my life and Torah is everything, Kiyim Chayinu, Rechimenu, and I love Torah, and Rechaz Kriya Shema, you're talking about the great love that you have for Hashem and His Torah. And then you finish davening and you run to work. Hashem's like, what is that? You said you were going to come. Right? That's why there's a siman in the Shulchan Aruch that says you should go from Beis Knesset to Beis Medrash, and then from there go to work. But we should at least, if we're going to say, we talk all the time, how should we love Hashem, we love your Torah, Hashem says, no. So why is it like the last thing on your list of goals for the day? So when you start the day with Torah, it shows what's primary in your life. And that's really important. Not everyone's able to, for a variety of reasons. So, at the very least, make sure that it's a part of your evening. But you can't go a day without learning Torah. It's an unfathomable thing for a Jew to go a day without learning Torah. I'm very into this. I've become very into this for myself and my students. Set goals. When you have a defined goal, beginning. So many students ask me, Rabbi, what should I learn over the summer? I said, you can learn whatever you want. Just decide what it is and make sure it has a beginning, a middle, and an end. It could be a lot, it could be a little. But when you have a project, when you have a clear project, this is what I'm working on. That a Jew should be able to be stopped in the street and say, what are you working on? And to be able to give a clear and definitive answer. I am currently working on X, Y, or Z, and this is how I plan to do it. It doesn't always work out that way. But if you don't have a clear picture where you're trying to get to, how can you get there?
We apply that same exact thing in the office, right?
That's
which is that if you have a major project, the example I've always used, somebody taught this me a long time ago, unless it can pass the Starbucks test, it's never going to get done. Somebody says, what does that mean? I said, you run into a friend you haven't seen in a long time at Starbucks. I say, what are you doing these days? I'm working for this company. What do you do? that if some person can't say that that project is what they do, the project will never get done. Somebody has to own it. Somebody has to be able to say, this is what I do.
This is what
it's off the side of my desk. A little bit. Somebody has to say, this is what I do. And this is the same.
Everyone's working on this project, right?
All right.
So someone takes ownership.
Somebody, and that's, I think, what we're saying here.
That's exactly it. That it should be set, and there should be a goal, and it should be clear. And he says very clearly, Kama Gemara Medrash V'chul, right? What do I want to do? Is it an Amud a day? Is it a Daf a day? Is it a line a day? Is it a Gemara? Is it Medrash? Is it a Chumash? Whatever it is, that I should set an amount that I'm going to learn B'chol Shuvo, B'chol Yom, Chok V'lo Yavor. And it is non-negotiable. It doesn't matter what happens. This is my goal, and I'm getting it done on a daily basis. And I'm not going to sleep until I get it done. And it should become so ingrained within you that the thought of missing that chavrusa, which, you know, okay, I'll see if I can make it, yes, no, maybe, right? But it should become so much a part of your kvias, it should be so much a central component of your life, that missing that would be like missing a day of tefillin. So I want to tell you about a letter I once saw from the Imre Amos. The Ger Rebbe has a beautiful letter. And if I would think about this, you know, if I would think about this every morning when I put on my tefillin, it would be a different experience. Right? Because he's using tefillin as like something that, like, you know, who doesn't put on tefillin every day, right? But when it comes to learning, you know, I'm really tired tonight, I just, I'm not going to push myself to get to my chavrusa or to pick up a sefer, right? So I could make the same excuse in the morning about putting on tefillin. I'm really tired tonight, I'm not going to put on tefillin today. But I'm not going to. Why? Because there's a certain kvias in my mind. What do you mean? That's, you have to put on tefillin. I'm not going to miss tefillin. So you have to learn Torah, says the Rebbe. So what's tefillin worth to us, right? Just to change our perspective a little bit on tefillin. So Imre Amos has this letter. It's an amazing letter. He says, imagine if someone came to you, right? I'll make it even stronger, Mashal. Shabbos, let's say. Someone comes to you on Shabbos and says, listen, I know you Jews aren't allowed to turn on the light on Shabbos. I'll give you $10 if you flip that light switch. Right? So you're not going to take it. $10, I'm not going to take it. So he says, okay, $100. $100, I have to flip it on. No one's here, just me and you. $100, flip the light switch. Turn it on, turn it off, $100. So I say, I'm sorry, I'm not prepared to sell my Yiddishkeit for $100. Okay, $1,000. $1,000. $10,000. I got the check right here, it's got your name on it. $100,000. $100,000, flip the light switch. Right? So I'm not going to ask where we start to get a little sweaty on the collar, right? $1,000,000. Just flip the light, what's the big deal? You're crazy. So you start thinking, well, $1,000,000, what can I do with $1,000,000? And he dies, you know, I could start a whole Shabbos campaign. So for one flip of the light switch, you know, you start making all these very religious cheshbonos, right? Why it's worth it. I mean, the halacha is clear, and I'll let it do it. And I think we wouldn't do it. I think I wouldn't do it. I've never been in that exact situation. I would hope that I would be, I think I could say I wouldn't do it. Yeah? So now, so says the Abraham, so Kabbalah. So you just put $1,000,000 price tag on Shabbos. So now, how would you feel if on a Tuesday someone came to you and gave you $1,000,000 check? Just out of the blue, came up by and said, you know, I want you to have $1,000,000. Right? Imagine the rest of that day you'd be in like a pretty good mood. So he says, so if you're not willing to trade Shabbos for $1,000,000, if you've put $1,000,000 price tag on Shabbos, so why don't you feel $1,000,000 worth of pleasure on Shabbos? So the example he gives, same thing with tefillin. So I'll give you $50,000 not to put on tefillin today. He's like, again, I have to put on tefillin. It's a big new silent, but I'm going to put on, I can't take it, I'm sorry. Right? So it says the Rambam, so when you put on your tefillin, so why are you standing there, like, you know, like, why don't you feel $50,000 worth of pleasure? Because you're not prepared to trade it for a significant sum of money, whatever that number is, wherever you draw that line. So why don't you feel that? That's your own self-imposed price. So why don't you feel that same degree of joy? It's a very powerful idea. So it's the same thing when it comes to Kviyas Itam L'Torah. Chassam Sofer took this idea one step further, I think in the name of one of his rebbeim, and said it's the same thing with Torah, right? Let's say, you make a sacrifice regularly to get to your learning, right? And then one day you decide, you know what? I'm just not in the mood to learn today. I'm just in the mood to go for ice cream. So what happens in that moment? You just put a price tag on your Torah, and your Torah is worth a cone of ice cream. Right? So now you come to the Olam HaEmes, you say, okay, you know, I'd like to cash in my Torah. Hashem says, okay, 1,000 hours of Torah. Oh, that one time you missed, you traded the for Aishim, so I'm going to give you the equivalent of, right? And what? That's what? But you set the price. You set the price. And the way that we set the price in a serious way is by showing it's non-negotiable. That for all the money in the world, and no matter how tired I am, no matter how burdened I am, this is, I'm not going to give up breathing because, right, because I have other responsibilities. I'm not going to not put on tefillin, says the Pizat Sabi, because of my responsibilities. I'm not going to miss a single day of learning Torah because of other responsibilities. And he says a very powerful thing. He says, "As kvar yimso lecha panayo kol eilam, ki af lahaniach tefillin ulispalel." Right? Meaning, let's say I made tefillin and tefillah optional. Lo haya davar chok v'lo yavar lechav. I didn't take that seriously. Gam kein hayisa doma shein lecha panayo lecha. I can convince myself I don't have time for that either. So it's a question of my orientation towards Torah, towards tefillah, towards tefillin. Is it important to me? If it's important to me, you find a way to get it done. The things that you absolutely need to do, you find a way to get it done. You don't have a choice. So make Torah something that's a critical component of every single day of your life. Okay, Os Yod. Hakshevu Shema Zachor V'Shamor. Listen very carefully and remember this well. Kol davar tov, hanhaga tova she'ata yodea, she'tzarach ata la'asosa, hein b'tam Torah v'tfila, v'hein b'esnagus shal asmecha. L'mashal, im yodea ata, she'tzarach ata l'kum b'ashmuras b'shazo. So whatever you plan to do, whatever good thing you're intending to do, whether it's in learning, whether it's in davening, whether it's in any personal goals that you've set for yourself. L'mashal, he says. If a person says, I need to wake up early tomorrow, right? And you set the alarm, and then you snooze, and you go back to sleep, and you don't fulfill that goal that was important. V'nechshalta, v'lo kamtaz. You were supposed to get up at 5:30, and you didn't get up. Oh, v'kibalta latzmecha sholo lechol meichel zeh, eiz yamim. Let's say you decide, I'm not going to eat a particular food for a period of days. Maybe it's because my doctor said it's for health reasons. Maybe it's because, like we saw earlier in the Sefer, I want to just try to show self-control. Right? Because I have a strong desire for it, like we saw above. And I gave into that Yitzhahara. Whatever it is I'm working on, and I stumble. So now you'd expect our Rebbe, the Pizat Rebbe, so loving and so encouraging, to say, don't worry, pick yourself up and try again. Yes, but also, if you want to be a person of real growth, not just what people call a growth-oriented person. You can be growth-oriented and never get anywhere. But if you actually want to grow, and you want to become a better Jew from one year to the next, or even from one day to the next, you can't be a frivolous person. You have to take yourself seriously. And if I set goals, and I don't care that I'm not keeping them,
they're not goals.
So they're not really goals. They're not really goals. And where's the self-respect, is what he's really saying. And that's why it is a source of chizik. He's not beating us up, even though it's harsh what he's saying. You know, you said, I'm not going to eat that food because I know it's not healthy for me. And then you give into that Yetzirah. He says, you should treat it like a big avera. Why? Because you're not taking yourself seriously. And a person who stumbles and doesn't treat it like a significant thing, like an avera, he's not bothered by it. He just, whatever, he blows it off. This person is a lightweight. His whole life is casual. How are we casual about the most important thing, life itself? He doesn't try to stand himself up strong. Right? It says at the beginning, the Hamidu Talmidim Harbe. Let's just say teach a lot of students. Right? It says v'hamidu, to stand someone up, right? To help someone to become firm in their commitments. That's the obligation of a rebbe to a talmud and to a parent to a child and a person to himself. Just to be firm, to not be someone who's right, like I said, kaseir v'chanotza v'avir hu mitnoea, right? Like a piece of hair or a leaf or a feather that's blowing in the wind. He's on the east, he's on the west, he's blowing all over the place. Right? No self-control, no consistency, no standards for himself. Again, a lightweight, a person who's not necessarily the biggest tzaddik, should be able to accept upon himself all of the midos tovos. Again, if I'm not gonna try to be serious about it, if I'm not gonna approach it with any degree of, again, that's kolas chalas kashos. that my aschala, whatever project I'm beginning, be firm about it, be strong about it, make a serious commitment to yourself. Don't be like a hair that blows around the room, or a leaf, or a feather. Right? Be a person who's made a serious commitment and can stick to it. Okay, what should a person learn? P.S.S. to be a very open-minded Jew in this way. Says there's a lot of things to learn in the world, and you should have a healthy diet of many types of Torah. Talmud, Tanakh, Mishnayos, Gemara, Zohar, Kadosh, Medrash, Beikar, Asher b'chol os mehem nimsa eisha mala lechalas sitra achra hasoveves ascha umizgar v'cha. Make sure to learn Gemara and Tanakh, Mishnayos. Tilmud Tanakh, Mishnayos, Gemara. Learn Tanakh, Mishnayos, Gemara, Zohar and Medrash especially, because every word of the Zohar Kadosh, nu, Rishon Berachai, Lag BaOmer this week. Coming up, right? Every word of Zohar is mamish. It's a fire that has the ability to uproot the sitra achra and to fight off any type of negativity inside of ourselves. Umisha tarad b'madrigasu uviyomecha loyachal lilmod as kol hanal. Let's say you're not able to learn all those things on a daily basis, which is probably for many of us. So divide it up into days of the week. He says, lamashal dalid yam b'shua learn Gemara. 2 days a week learn Medrash. You need to be a balanced person. So you need to learn a little of everything. He says you should learn Sifrei Chassidus, like the Shlach HaKadosh and the Svarim of the Maharal. Sifrei Chassidim HaRishonim, like the Magid. Right? Learn from the Magid of Mezrich. Learn from the Noam Elimelech. Right? All these Svarim, Kedush HaSlevi, Kashas Ar Magid, Imre, V'Divrei Elimelech, V'Saron, whatever Sefer. They're all important. Learn them all. V'afilim Yeshtim Dvarim She'ein HaTamavinam. And even if there's things that you're not going to fully understand right away, Gamkein Al Tanach Yod Chamehem. Don't stop learning. Especially some of the deeper Svarim. There's so many sources that indicate that if a person, big discussion in general, if a person learns something and doesn't understand it, does he get schar for learning? I just sit here with a Gemara and I just read the words. I don't have a clue. I open a Gemara, Zvachim, middle of the Zvachim, Zvachim, not holding in it, right? And I just start reading. And I'm just saying the words. So does that help a person? So the more traditional sources say that no, that if you don't understand what you're saying, certainly by Torah Shabbal Peh, it doesn't work. By Torah Shabbal Chsav already, there's more room that the post can already say that if you're saying the words of Chumash, that already, even if you don't understand what you're saying, that does something. And, but if you're looking like later works, right, they say not every word is kadosh and it cleanses a person, whether you retain it or not. If you're filtering good, you know, pure waters through you, it makes a difference. And all the more so, some of these deeper works. Right, there are people who just have a kvias of reading a passage of Zohar every day. It refines the soul.
Yeah, I think I mentioned this once before. Rabbi Rothbach once told my wife.
Yeah.
When she asked, I come to Shears, and then I go home, and Doug asked me what I learned, and I can't remember what it was.
Uh-huh.
She goes, should I bother coming? And he said, even a leaky bucket gets
right,
clean from the
right,
water flowing through it.
That's right.
It
passes through. It's 100% true. It's really, really true. It's hard because you don't feel sometimes like, what was the point of that? What did I get out of that? Why did I invest, you know, my time in that? But exactly, it cleanses a person. It's a very real thing. Right, so that's exactly what he says here. So even if you don't understand everything, even if you don't understand a lot of things, it's still very worthwhile. Why? At least you've been darach. You've traveled along the path that holy people have traveled. That's worth something. The fact that, you know, let's just pause for a second and realize he spent the whole year learning the writings of a tzaddik who was killed by the Nazis. I mean, like, what are the odds that a couple of us would be sitting here in Teaneck, New Jersey, in the year 2016, reading the words of the P.S.S. Rebbe? So do I remember everything we learned? Have I applied to my life everything we learned? Of course not. But, no, I made contact with a great tzaddik. That's certainly worthwhile. Understand what you can. And more than that, beyond that. It's going to stick to you more than you realize. Vatitaher, exactly your mashal dog. It's going to cleanse you out like the bucket. Let's say you say, Sefer Kabbalah, I don't know, what do I know from Sefer Kabbalah? He says, it's still kedai to learn a little something. You shouldn't be completely ignorant of these things. So you don't have to become makubal. It'd be inappropriate if you don't know Tanakh, you don't know Halacha, you don't know Mishnayos and Gemara to become a makubal. It's not really possible to become an authentic makubal if you don't have a foundation in revealed Torah. But a little bit, every Jew has a responsibility to know the lingo a little bit. Hasefer Shefatal, for example, he says is a good introductory work for to spell out just some of the language of Kabbalah, which again you find certainly in Chassidus and is good just for a Jew to have a kesher to. Okay, Yud Beis, very important. Piazat Sarebi was a person whose time was very precious and valuable. Ma'od ma'od havizar shelo telech batil afrega. A person shouldn't have time that he's batel. Now again, batel means that it's not purposeful. So you might schedule an afternoon nap on the couch. That's purposeful if that's going to help you to be able to be a functioning human being afterwards. Right? But your day should be, your time should be accounted for. It shouldn't be a person goes here and goes there and does whatever he wants, whenever he wants. A Jew who's living with purpose and understands that life is short, he makes the moments count. What's the pasuk? What does it say? It says, Yazov Rasha Darko. Right? It says, the Navi says, Yazov Rasha Darko. Rasha should abandon his path. So the Yismach Yisrael, Rabbi Alexander, if I'm not mistaken, says, what do you mean, Yazov Rasha Darko? That Rasha should abandon his path. Rasha doesn't have a path. Tzadik has a path. Tzadik has a schedule. Rasha goes with the flow, does what he wants. Very chilled out about his own life. So what does it mean he should abandon his way? So the Rabbi Alexander said that's exactly it. His way is that his path is that he has no path, and he has to stop living like that. He has to choose a path that actually is plotted, right? He's trying to get somewhere. Again, goals, beginning, a middle, and end. So make sure your time is not batal. Make sure you have a derech, right? Make sure you have a derech. Kavishan Irsham, as we've explained earlier in the work. Asar v'gam shal batala yeh be'necha ka'averach hamur rachman al-Islam. First, it wastes a couple of moments, 10 minutes. Right? That should be a big deal, 10 minutes, what a Jew can accomplish in this world in 10 minutes. You have to be normal about it. You have to know what you can handle. But you should use your time. You can't go years and years without goals, without a plan, without trying to become something. Bad batala ata mishalim b'chayecha. With what does one pay for his batala? With his life. Life itself is the cost. Life passes by, and you look back, you say, I could have, I should have, I would have, right? But you didn't. You're not going to have that time back. Right? I gets a little heavy again, like, haven't seen in a while, but he gets a little heavier. Remind yourself of the day of death. This does not go forever. Hayom vazman meis, right? The day and the time. Is no longer. The days that have passed are no longer. V'yashar l'chala shiva, you can't bring it back. B'tal te'iz azman yeh be'inecha. Very strong words here. Shechatachta chaticha milibcha v'shlachta l'fnei klavim. Person who wastes life, wastes time, you might as well cut yourself open, take out a slice of your heart, right? Cut out a part of your very life itself, your existence, cut out a piece of your heart and throw it to the dogs. Because that's what you're doing. That's what you're doing. You're showing Hashem you don't care for the life that you've been given. Very, very strong. There's times that you can't learn, you can't actually sit and learn in a more official fashion. So then what? So think about Torah. At least think Torah ideas. Hadracha, v'chassidus. Think of it you're driving in a car. Right, so maybe you're able to put on a shir, but let's say you can't put on a shir. Right, so just think, take a minute and think about Torah, something in Torah. What do I want to do? What mitzvahs do I need to work on? What are the acts of chesed that I should schedule into my week? Apishas chazar satfila. He gives us a big hat here. Even during chazar sashatz, im ein machshavas chakula shakula v'chazar sashatz. If it just so happens that you're not fully, deeply immersed in listening to the chazan repeat the Shemoneh Esrei, which I think is most of us, so then at least use that time to think about what? Other holy things. Don't just stand there. It makes me crazy. One of the things that makes me so crazy, and one day I'm going to do something about it. I'm still too shy. You walk into a shul, right? And everyone's waiting for Ma'ariv. And let's say they have a clock, a very precise clock. Some of the shuls in the neighborhood. Yeah? So let's say Ma'ariv's called for 9 o'clock. Yeah? So it's 8:58. And the people who are just literally standing there, just like staring at the clock, just like waiting for nine, which I understand. You want to start marav on time, and you don't want to start too early, you don't want to start late, it's not fair to people. But like, do something for those 2 minutes. You can learn a Mishnah, you can read a Pasuk, you can sit and just think about the davening, you're about to daven. Right? To stare at a clock and to watch it tick, it's very chaval. But you have to develop an attitude of appreciation and value, and value those moments. Understand what a Jew can accomplish in a minute, a second.
And that is a heter though, because you're not allowed to be learning during.
Because that's shots, right. It's really not a time to.
Nowadays, it's 99%.
Right. So he's saying, if you're otherwise, you know, checking your emails, which is totally inappropriate, and if you're learning out of a safe, which is also inappropriate, so this might be a middle of the road approach. At least fill your mind with something. To be standing, you know, your whole life waiting for a bus and not doing something while you're waiting, is chaval. Okay. Now, obviously, he says, if you be careful that it shouldn't cause a bittul of one machshava mivishmal v'lanos with the brachu v'chshemo and amen. So you still have a responsibility to respond to chazar sashas. But okay, b'kol shekein b'shal she'ata holech b'shuk, and a person who walks outside, you go out to the street. Tiyem achshav ascha v'libcha kavuam be'ezad devar Torah k'niskel. Think, take a thought of Torah with you. I think they say that the Vilna Gaon, before he would step out of his home, he would review the beginning sections of Mesilas Yesharim, I think 13 times or something like that, right? And you need ammunition when you go to the street. You kiss the mezuzahs on the way out. I'm going out like a Jew, and I'm taking a Jewish ideal with me to meditate upon while I'm walking down the street. Why is that valuable? Number one, you'll use your time getting from point A to point B in a more productive way, but it's also a form of shmira for a person. Protects a person. Besides attaching my mind to holy things, which is the whole purpose, he says, of our chevra, so we've studied this whole sefer for the purpose of becoming more thoughtful. If your mind, right, if I'm carrying around the Mishnah in my head, if I'm carrying around a Hasidic dictum or something, a pasuk in my head, right, so when I'm walking down the street and I'm encountered by something that's challenging, I'm able to maintain a sense of control. Because I'm well armed with holy things. Okay? Now this next one is also a continuation of setting goals, and I've become very into this. Though you'll tell me from your business experience if this is like a thing they use in the business world. But I'm very into this. He says you should set a set time with kol ma'asecha. Set an amount of time. I've been using it more in Torah goals as opposed to other goals, but it's a very useful thing. Whatever I'm going into, I should know what's the plan here. And again, the plan might be to have dinner for 2.5 hours. That's fine. If that's the plan, that's good. Right? But it shouldn't be that my time is just hefker. That's what he's training us to become thoughtful with our time. So, set a set amount of time for kol masech, of everything you do. Right? Basa lechol, you sit down to eat, you come to eat. So set a set time, yachatzi or revasha, however long, a half hour, 15 minutes, whatever it is, whatever amount of time it takes you to eat, like a normal person. Right? But use that time and understand what that time is earmarked for. Holy chata leves reyacha, you go to spend some time with a friend, lasuach ma'ata, shmuz a little bit. Im I afsharata lasuach b'tara, you're not able to learn. Shabbos afternoon, you say, listen, I need to, you know, it's a good time for learning. Shabbos was given for learning Torah, I can't learn Torah all day, I'm going to go visit a friend. Right? But again, it shouldn't be like open-ended. There should be other things scheduled into my day. And I should decide, I'm going to go there for, sometimes it'll change. But he wants us to not be living in this haphazard, frivolous kind of way. Right? So therefore, set mikodem, zman kazet. How long am I going to remain there? Ashehesham. Velo yoser. Im ein zasiach shachasidus. Obviously, if you're getting together to fabreng, so you can fabreng as long as that's already. Then you're already taught. You're talking in a Avodas Hashem. So that's learning. As far as the Pesiyas and the Rebbe is concerned, that's considered learning Torah. And good. But if you're just going to visit, to shmooze, so again, decide what the plan is. Uvachlal targish es asmecha ki ish hatzava. See yourself like a soldier. You're part of Hashem's army. See yourself as a soldier who has the yoke of someone else upon you. You're not. You can't. You know, the soldier can't just go. He's given a break for a scheduled amount of time. Every hour is pressing upon the next hour. There's responsibilities. And one task leads into the next task. And again, a person who has these goals will live a far more productive life. Yud Dalet, Leilos Shabbos, Motzei Shabbos. Yeah, there are certain times which, for whatever reason, people think are just complete hefker, and there's not even a havamina to have a goal for these times. And it happens to be a beautiful time if you learn how to use it right. Not that I do, but in theory. Leilos Shabbos, Friday nights, Motzei Shabbos, especially, he says, in the winter months. It's such a good time. Right? And unfortunately, for many people, it's kind of just, you know, no man's land. Right? He says, don't go to sleep, don't get into bed, call them Shayur Aleph before 11 o'clock. Right, so we'll adjust for our world. 9 o'clock. Could we go for 9?
Yeah, the beauty of the Shabbos is in the winter.
Shabbos, right? You know? And you're in bed by 7:30. Now he says, "I'll get
up first, and then as
long as plans." So yeah. Look what he says. Rav Dessler has a beautiful description in the Michta Me'eliyahu. He has this beautiful description of how he used to. He remembers as a child, he would go to sleep Friday night, and they would get up at midnight. Like, they would go to bed at, let's say, like, I don't know, 9 o'clock. Right, they sleep for a couple hours, and they wake up at midnight, and then they learn through the night to, you know, daven v'sikin. He describes his mother would come, she'd bring him, like, and bring out, you know, cakes and coffee, and he would sit, and they would learn. And it was like shavuos every Friday night thing. Okay, so each person on their madrega, but again, these are good times, and we get into a habit of thinking that I need 25 hours of sleep on Shabbos, and maybe I could use the time more productively. Remember Hashem, remember your Creator. Remember your borecha, remember the Creator, and remember that what a simpleton you could be if you're not mindful of it. Okay, last but not least, page 54. Okay, the last paragraph, because we already did the tikkunim for the Devar Cheva, so we'll end with this. We'll see him. Vinyane Ava v'yira. Lo dibarnu bepratius. When it comes to Ava and Yira, which is an essential component of Jewish living, I barely spoke about it. Right? We didn't speak a lot specifically about what it means to love Hashem, what it means to fear Hashem. We spoke a lot about engaging Hashem in other ways, but we didn't necessarily focus on those terms so much specifically. So he says, the reason I didn't have to is because everything that we've been working on, right, is merely tools to dig. To dig what? To dig down to the Av and Yira, which is a natural part of who you are. Ki be'emes kol nefesh Yisrael. Yira v'oheves es Hashem hu. Every Jew in his heart has Yira and has Avas Hashem. V'akevon shekvur v'machatzel shokonim. But because it's buried under a mat of reeds, the t'muna b'guf, it gets stuck somewhere deep inside one's body, so it becomes very difficult to access it. Gama avasa v'yirasa t'muna. So too, the Av and the Yira, which is again a natural part of who you are, gets buried. Umishi is nai kanal, and anyone who tries to work on these ideas, legalos es nishmatov, to uncover the inner workings of his heart, gama avaso, gam yiraso l'Hashem, his Av and his Yira will come out very naturally, Yira tahora tizgala be'ezrat Hashem. And that Yira and that Ava will flow very naturally from. Okay, Hadron Allah, B'nai Machshava Torah. B'nai Machshava Torah, we have to chazer it, like he said. I want to just share this piece. I discovered a ksav sofer today, Parshas Vayigash, that I want to share with you. I think it's a good piece, maybe to end with. What happened? Yosef and the brothers, yeah? So he kisses his brothers and he starts to cry. The Medrash says, "Kishem shel apis Yosef achiv el b'chia, kein eno goel as Yisrael el b'chia." The same way that Yosef had to cry to show his brothers that he really loved them, and that the feelings were heartfelt and it was just an outpouring of emotion, right? And that he really wanted to reconcile with them. So too, the geula comes with crying. That's what the Medrash says, and he says it's hard to understand what this Medrash means. Okay, so he says the following. And it's a very powerful challenge. I heard it painted like this. I was listening to a shir today. It was painted like this. You know, imagine if there was a nation that made a decree that the Jewish people are not allowed to have Pesach. Pesach's canceled. Not allowed to have Pesach. Any Jews caught celebrating a Pesach Seder is going to be arrested, and who knows what. Okay, so there's no Pesach. Right? But you want to make sure that your children remember something about Pesach. Right? So every year, on the night of the Seder, you're not allowed to have a Seder. It's a government decree. But every year on that night, you're having regular dinner, but you have a bottle of wine on the table. Right? It's not noticeable that you're keeping Pesach. Right? So your kids start to think, right? Your kids know there used to be something called Pesach. But they think this is Pesach. Say to them, you think this is Pesach? And they're like, oh, it's Pesach because that bottle of wine is on the table. Right? This is the annual when we bring out the bottle of wine. And you say, Chaval, if only you knew what Pesach really was. Before the government made this harsh decree, Pesach used to sit by the Seder with matzahs and four cups of wine and the whole Haggadah and the Maror and the Sipur Yisrael Shoshana. It was unbelievable. It's so pathetic that you think this is Pesach. So now, let's think about our Pesach compared to Pesach. When they used to have a carbon Pesach, so we sit and we think, Pesach is Gevaldik, right? Such an unbelievable night of mitzvah and a connection to one's family and a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and it's such an amazing thing. Now imagine someone comes from the time period of the Beis HaMikdash and they say, you think this is Pesach? No carbon Pesach? Like, this is a joke. Right, same thing, think Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur, right? Yom Kippur is the best. You feel so good after Yom Kippur, you went through Yom Kippur. So imagine someone who came from the time period, we had a Kohen Gadol, Avodas Beis HaMikdash. They come and they say, you Jews, you think this is Yom Kippur? This is a joke. This isn't Yom Kippur. So listen, it's very strong, and I want to end with this as a tefillah for ourselves, as we begin to have to chazer. We promised the Rebbe said we have to chazer. So listen to what he says. He says, "Sabchinu ki mosi niseinu." Yeah, pasuk says in Tehillim chapter 90, "Shnosu inu ra ki ba'orech hagalus me'efes hergash heder hatova shahayalanu." Throughout Gullus, a person loses their sensitivities. And you start to redefine what's considered normal. And what's considered connection to Hashem. And what's considered Judaism. Kishicha mitzuya banu ve'inan yodim chesroneinu. And the Gullus is so jarring and is so numbing that after a while you say, yeah, this is what it is. This is what I consider Judaism to be. This is my understanding of what it means to be a Jew. This is what Pesach is. This is what Yom Kippur is. And therefore what? Ein anu bochem kol kach achesroneinu. So we don't cry that much over that which is lacking. Because we think we have it pretty good. Aval kishnashuv la'artzeinu. But he says when the Geula Shlema comes, what's going to happen? And he says that's what it means. That just like Yosef had to cry it out with the brothers, so too, Mashiach only comes, the Geula to Yisrael comes with the crying. Meaning what? When Mashiach comes, and every Jew says, whoa, we thought... There was Torah in the world, there was kosher food in the world, there were shuls in the world, there was all sorts of, there was Yiddishkeit, it was happening. Mashiach comes and says, let me teach you what Yiddishkeit really is. He's like, oh my God, you break down crying. What a pathetic thing that I thought I had. What does that have to do with Yosef and the brothers? So Yosef's in Mitzrayim, and he has two children, Ephraim and Menashe. What does the Torah testify about Ephraim and Menashe? Ephraim and Menashe, Keruvim and Shem, Mamash like the Shvatim, we bless our children, that you should be, Yisimcha Elohim, Ephraim and Menashe, Halavai. And they dafka say, because Ephraim and Menashe, they grew up in such a place in Mitzrayim, and they still stayed from. That's the biggest bracha you can give your kids in such a crazy world. They should hang on to their Yiddishkeit. Yeah? And now Yosef sees what real Shvatim look like. What Shvatim who've been living with Yaakov look like. And he says, I thought we made it in Mitzrayim. And you did. You did. The fact that Yosef didn't fully sin with Eishes Botimah, the fact that he had righteous children, but now he sees what it could really be. And he breaks down crying. And when Mashiach comes, right, a Jew also breaks down crying. Wow, it could have been so much more. So Baruch Hashem, at least now, that's what this whole Sefer was about. This whole Sefer was about, I could go through my whole life thinking I can only go so deep into myself, and my relationship with Hashem can only go so deep. And now the piece of that Sefer says, it's totally not true. It's all what you're used to. And if you change what you're used to, if we decide, we don't want to be used to rolling into that shul year after year, day after day. I don't want my learning to be stale. I don't want my avodas Hashem to be stale. Al tashlichenu leiv zikna, say from the Baal Shem Tov. Al tashlichenu leiv zikna, Hashem, don't let my avodah become old. Keep things fresh. Right? Don't cast us aside in the times when the avodah is old. Help me to keep it fresh. And even if I'm schlepping along, it should also count. But that's not, we don't want to settle for that. So Hashem should help us. We should be zochet to be kind of the words. Tzchus the Rebbe, the B'nai Machshava Tova. We should be B'nai Machshava Tova. People of holy consciousness, striving ever deeper. Okay, Shkoyach.
Shkoyach.
No, so what's next for us?